Clooney moving to Portland and just playing some street ball, that seemed like a dream come true for Morgan. That's everything you want.
You have
yeah,
no
that's
idea.
Why Morgan doesn't have a reboot, because that was the reboot.
Can't think about anything else. That's everything now.
I got a lot of notes, and it's all just about me and Clooney looking up real estate in Portland.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates with you, Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Oh, Grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete series. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode and the very last episode. I overthought that. My name's Morgan, and joining me to do this and now correct me is Jeremy Wiseman.
I will correct you because
what do you got for me?
Well, that's not the premise this week.
You're right. Actually,
we've broken the mold. This is the podcast where we watch the first George Clooney episode of ER and the last kind of
episode.
George Clooney episode.
Last official, when he's in the
last
in the
when,
to- when
he's
in the
part of the
card.
Main cast. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I misspoke. That's the only reason. Nothing to do with the
just
8 years
the handsomeness
I had beforehand.
Is just throwing you off.
Naturally, I mean, it's going to probably throw me off all episodes. So
that jaw and those dark features, and he's working with kids. Ooh. Morgan, God.
I mean, that's why I got into the pediatrics game, to meet women. That's just that's me.
I don't think you're a qualified pediatrician.
Well, I beg the differ.
He's in the game. That's the main thing.
Yeah, I'm in the game.
It's all about the hustle. The kids respect
exactly.
The hustle.
It's who you know, not what you know.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in these times, all the doctors. It's all.
You know someone who will cut you a key for a primary school and let you in the back.
Oh God! Walked right into that one, didn't I? Jesus Christ. Aaron, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Morgan. I'm still reeling from your pre-episode bombshell that you only just watched Something for Mary for the first time.
I know. I can't believe I revealed that.
Oh, there's something about Mary.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it.
All right, we'll circle back to that. But Scott, how are you?
Well, we've all
I'm
seen
well.
It. We're all on the same
I
page.
I have also seen There's Something About Mary.
Yeah. Now, do we want to dissect my gap in early 2000s?
I think everybody's got one film that they haven't seen. Aaron's, I forget what it is every single time.
I bring it up like every 2 months, and Scott's like, "What?
What?
How have you never told me?"
It's like as big as Shawshank.
Ooh. Is it Requiem for a Dream? I've never seen.
There it is.
I haven't seen that either, Scott.
I haven't seen Requiem.
Oh, you're the only
boy.
One who has seen it.
Yeah.
I feel like,
going
I feel
on
like
here?
There's no good time to watch it.
It's like you don't want to fall into
I'm in the same boat. I'd rather watch newer stuff. I don't want
emotion.
That's the drug one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All you ever hear about is it's an incredibly hard watch. What's the appeal, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to be depressed. Like, I'm depressed enough from the outside world. Do I need to be depressed when I'm on the weekends? Like, come on, man.
Morgan exactly. wants to watch a man try to zip up his fly and get the bean caught above the frank.
Mm. Morgan wants to see him jizz into his own hair.
He wants to see relatable characters.
The frank and bean scene, it's a tough watch still. 20 years down the line, it's still a tough watch.
So
you know,
that's more of a tough watch than Requiem for a Dream. Perhaps.
At least that goes for like that's like a 7-minute sequence.
Straight to the emergency room with the Frank and Beans, I reckon.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Straight
to the mall.
The thing is with Requiem, that's a 2-hour tough watch. I got 7 bad minutes and There's Something About Mary. I can get through that.
Mm. Yeah, there's a prize on the other end.
You don't appreciate the Wayans. Great work. I understand.
The Wayans? The Wayans brothers directed Requiem for a Dream?
Well, no, but Marlon Wayans is in it, so.
Oh, I'm a big Marlon Wayans guy. He's my favorite of the Wayans. Yeah,
of course.
It goes Marlon, then Damon. I mean, I'm a big Magic Payne guy, so you gotta respect the craft.
It's like saying Alex, your favorite of the Baldwins, though. You know, it's like, of course.
Yeah, so that's a free.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's obviously Stephen Baldwin.
It's like Mark's your favorite of the Wahlbergs. Actually, that's
what's
not true. Everyone
one?
Loves Donnie.
Yeah, Donnie.
Donnie Wahlberg.
He is the most handsome of all of them.
Ooh, I don't know. None of them are really traditional.
You're dealing in the wrong currency, I think, Morgan.
Yeah.
Am I? I'm out of my depth.
Have you guys speaking of Boston, you guys ever seen Wahlburgers? Wait, this is set in Chicago.
I've seen a parody of Wahlburgers. That's about it.
That's a good attempt to segue, Jez.
Wahlburgers is the reality TV show with the three Wahlberg brothers based around...
We're familiar with the
ones, burger chain.
Yeah. And Donnie and Mark just shit on the one that hasn't made it as a famous actor.
Yeah, even though the show's about him. So what have you done lately, Mark Wahlberg? Apart from being like the fifth richest actor of all time.
All right, well...
Is this a tangent?
Jez, you've successfully derailed my segue.
We're circling back.
Yeah, we'll circle back. So we're talking about handsomeness. So Donnie Wahlberg's out. Mark Wahlberg, unconventionally handsome, yet albeit handsome. Let's talk about George Clooney and ER, which is what we
typically
watch.
Handsome.
Mm, he is the epitome of handsome, some would say.
He's not textbook, though. He's got a little bit of something, you know? Like so, a little
he's
bit
got
of
some
something
pep.
Different.
He's got some quirk, I think.
Yeah, some quirk, some dark features, you know? He's got the, like, going prematurely grey kind of thing. He's not like
prematurely
an Armie Hammer type, you know?
No, of course not. But this is the second time we've had a George Clooney feature in our show, though. So it's the second time we've seen him. Roseanne, he's in the pilot episode.
He's managing the factory or whatever.
Correct.
What year was that? When did Roseanne start?
Was it 80s? Yeah, like it was like 88, 89. He's got the long hair. He's no salt and pepper at that stage, but this is very early Clooney. Peacemaker Clooney, which some would argue is peak Clooney. I would not argue that.
Is Clooney one of those guys that had a real like labory sort of job before getting into acting?
Nah. Batman?
No?
Too pretty? I reckon he's got that weathered skin. He spent some time out in the sun.
He had a day job that is of note.
He might have like, you know, picked oranges one summer, but
that's probably what I'm talking about.
Yeah, sure. Might have like worked on his uncle's farm for a week.
That was it. He grew up from being a child to an adult.
That's what I'm did he?
he's just like
that's,
us.
That's
he's
done a very atypical road to stardom. Yeah. most go the other way, but
sort of Benjamin Button.
So obviously we did the Clooney years. Jez, can you give us some perspective? Why did we deviate from our normal?
Sorry, I'm gonna cut in here.
Okay,
he earned money selling women's shoes, insurance door-to-door, stocking shelves, working in construction, and cutting tobacco.
That was really bad timing.
Sorry. Sorry, we need to pause for a second. I apologize.
What's happened? Ron just, bomb?
Hang on. What's going on?
She's just fucking born inside. And she started chewing up all the tables. It's like crumbling.
Gotta get these coda updates. This is gold. This is better than anything Heath Morgan written.
That's okay. You're a little
wang. Morgan, stop bringing rocks inside. No, you can't eat rocks.
Sorry. I'm really sorry.
Keep your rocks outside. Keep them out of the podcast.
She started pulling rocks out of the ground and just bringing and chewing them. And
now you've got chalky teeth.
Yeah, be chewing those. Naturally. Okay, so
now
Scott,
I
want to
hear about George Clooney's
You cut
job.
Me off.
I did, because from 1979 to 1981, George Clooney majored in broadcast journalism. It didn't graduate though. He earned money selling women's shoes, insurance door to door, stocking shelves, working in construction, and cutting tobacco. Cutting tobacco
okay,
with what?
Right. I was
we'll
about to say
women's
selling
shoes.
Women's shoes, not really hard labor, but you know, you've backed it up with some construction and cutting tobacco.
Selling women's shoes for George seasons. Clooney as well would just not be hard. He'd just be really, to borrow a term from you, he'd be laying pipe.
He'd be laying a lot of pipe.
So it's true that he did grow from a child into a man, into a women's shoe salesman, into the George Clooney we know and appreciate today.
Correct.
At some point made the detour around ER, of course. I want to circle back again, and we keep saying the term "circle back," but like, let's keep using it because I like it. And once that's out there, I feel like we have to keep picking it up and using it. With that said, should we crack into the summary for episode one and then start breaking it down?
Let's do it.
ER kicks off with a sleepy Dr. Green being woken up to treat a hammered Dr. George Clooney.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate this, Mark. I'm a little under the weather.
As George sobers up, Chicago's County General Hospital emergency room is hit with a cavalcade of medical emergencies, including patients from a collapsed building, gunshot wounds, stab wounds, a severed hand, and a hangnail.
I'm afraid it may be infected. Mrs. Raskin, if we treat you, it's going to cost you $180. You do know that.
Oh, I wish you'd do it for me.
Amongst all this, another surgeon, Dr. Benton, shows a new student the ropes, the nervy John Carter. Nurse Hathaway, George's old flame, has OD'd and is in a coma. And Dr. Green has a meeting with a private medical firm where he could get paid the big bucks. A hectic 24 hours ends with Dr. Green trying again to get some much-needed Z's in the break room.
I'll be down in room 8. Got a pen? Wake me at 6:30.
Gives you almost an hour and a half. You're lucky.
First thing I want to say is I thought George Clooney would be the centerpiece of the show, but it was Dr. Green.
It's Anthony Edwards.
And he's great. He's so good.
Yeah. I really like him.
I thought he was incredible. It's just a great sort of entry point into that world because he wasn't, you know, if it was George Clooney, it would be a bit unrealistic, but he just seems like, I don't know. I found myself really, really, really taking to him by the end of the episode.
I don't know about you guys, but I watched this pilot, like, I actually forgotten it was a double episode. Knowing it's a 45-minute episode, kept going. I was in. I'm like, oh, man, this is just so full on. I wanted more. I must admit, by the hour and a half point, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to ready to park the emergency room. but early on, you're really taking it. And Jez, I reckon you're bang on where Anthony Edwards is just, he's more accessible than Clooney, who's just the most handsome man on the planet, pediatrician. As I said, as a pediatrician as well, you get in the game to meet women. And that's why Clooney's there. He's just wooing all the girls, whereas Edwards is just—he's a frontline, emergency doctor, just batting things back with a tennis racket,
running on no sleep.
50 seasons of this, it's insane. And you're like those scenes where he does go to bed in the like separate room, and just it's like he's down and then straight back up.
Green.
What is it?
6:30, Dr. Green.
Really anxiety inducing. Yeah.
I just thought it was really
well done. It was such a good pilot.
It really was.
I mean, I was really taken. It's one of the highest earning shows ever, and it lasted 15 seasons, so it makes sense. But we were so young when this first aired that I don't think any of us would have seen the pilot, right?
No, absolutely not. I want to quickly fact check something. 1994, do you reckon that resident surgeons are making $23,000 a year?
We worked 36 hours on, 18 off, which is 90 hours a week, 52 weeks a year. For that, we are paid $23,739 before taxes, and we also have to make the coffee.
That's what Dr. Benton said he was on.
Yeah.
I missed that. Really?
Ooh. Yeah. 94.
What's that? Can someone Google that on inflation?
It'd be like 40 grand.
It's not much. Yeah, it'd be like 40, 45K.
Which is below minimum wage or around minimum wage in Australia. It's just a real kick in the teeth.
And I understand that, like, apparently, you got to do the hard yards there initially, but that just seems ludicrous.
Especially with the job itself, or just being
a surgeon, working 24 hours a day.
So 25K in 94 is 43 today.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Especially for the work they're doing. Oh,
yeah, it's rough. Mm. It's rough.
And when Dr. Green goes to the private practice to get shown around, what did they say he'd be on?
120,000.
Okay. That's even 120. Still.
I think Dr. Green, he's not a resident. I think he's attending. I think he's the next step up. So he's probably on a little bit more.
I think he's a resident as well. I think they're all around the same level. Yeah, I think those three all kind of went to medical school together. So he's about to go from 25 grand to 120.
To 120, grand. Which is insane.
I don't care about your principles.
No, take the money. Take the inside hours. He's got a family. He's got a wife and a kid. And he says, by his own admission, we never see each other.
But you would understand this, Morgan. He just loves the game, you know?
He loves the game. I get it. I mean, but he's not there.
As a hardworking pediatrician. An amateur pediatrician trying to make it.
I'm in the game.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't understand Anthony Edwards' plight. I definitely get George's plight. We get each other. As pediatricians. I do want to quickly talk about another one of the main characters, which was I've forgotten the character's name, but it's played by Juliana Margulies.
Hathaway.
Mm.
Hathaway, yeah. So, interestingly, I did a bit of extra reading. I'm not sure if you guys did as well. So, she was actually supposed to die in that episode.
Interesting.
Apparently, during testing, that character was incredibly popular, and it was like a fan demand to keep her alive and bring her back.
You can't kill off one of the nurses. They're like they keep everyone else grounded, you know?
But they're
glue.
That'd be a dick move.
Work with me here, though. There's like 11 main title cut. I mean, it's obviously Anthony Edwards and George at the two.
Kill off one of the women. You're right. No, you're right.
Yeah, naturally. But so she dies. She dies
in
there.
You could jam another pediatrician in there.
Exactly. We'll just fill her time out with more George Clooney. Dr. Cole. That's all I want.
From ER to PR, pediatrician room.
Put me in the game. apart from the fact that she's a woman. her character...
Digging a big hole in this episode.
No, I know. But thanks, Jez. You've really backed me into a corner here. No, I'm just going to...
Back yourself into a corner.
No, I did. Was it the pediatrician talk?
I'm just showing you where the reverse gear is.
Exactly. Oh, let me slam for the wall. So she was supposed to die. I actually didn't find her character that interesting. I thought she was...
They didn't really give her a whole lot in the first episode. She just kind of turned up. Clooney was had a bit of a thing with her, and then she came in and...
Yeah. Her shtick doesn't really land with me, Juliana Margulies'.
And I was surprised...
Her acting shtick?
That she was such a popular character based on that first episode, because she really didn't... They didn't give her... Like you said, they didn't give her that much to work with. She's kind of just there. A lot of the characters are, because the show is so fast-paced and there's so much happening, you kind of don't get too connected to the characters, apart from probably my man George and Anthony Edwards. So it's interesting that I'm just surprised that so many fans engage with her so quickly.
That's true. She's not particularly warm. She always has that real hard edge.
Has she been in stuff before that, or...?
I don't know.
For listeners playing at home... Juliana Margulies, The Good Wife, got the lead role.
Yeah,
in that.
It seemed like that was her break. So that is interesting.
Yeah.
What do you guys think was the most brutal thing in this episode? Because, as Aaron said in the summary, so many things went on. So many little bit stories where you just get a tiny little bit of what's happened to this person, and then you don't hear from them again. And a tiny little bit of this person, and you don't hear from them again.
Probably the baby.
That was rough.
Yeah.
So for those that don't, playing along at home, there's our boy George. This babysitter brings in a baby that's been burnt and
battered,
bruised, and has fractured skull. And then the baby's really wealthy mum comes in with a date, and it's kind of made out that she's neglectful and a bit of an arsehole.
Yeah,
a lawyer.
He also has several old healed fractures. This is a battered child.
I'm not even going to respond to that. You think I'd harm my child?
Happens all the time.
That scene, though, it was really... So I watched this yesterday, and my girlfriend, after that came on, she sort of kind of drifted in and out watching it with me. She almost passed out when George confronted that woman. She was just so oh my God,
How dare you speak
How
to me this
How dare you
way?
Treat your child like this? He's a little kid.
What a man.
George.
He stood up for that baby.
Which was a glimpse into the window.
He got fired up.
It's true. And that's why, and again, that was another moment of why I got into the pediatrics game.
But the best part about that scene is she brings this sleazebag date in that's kind of just hovering around in the background.
He looks about 20 years older, by the way.
I know.
I was going to say, he's the
weird balding guy.
He looks like Scatman. Is that just me?
Yeah, I know. And he's just kind of like... And at one point, George is like, "Who are you, the father?" He's like, "I'm just a date.
I don't know."
I just take a hint, guy. Maybe leave. Maybe just be like, you know what? Maybe
this isn't going to work. I'll
call you. I'm going to slip out.
That is.
He got torched, that guy.
I probably shouldn't
absolutely
be sitting
torched.
In the back. Would you reckon that was their first date? He's just sitting in the background while Child Protective Services come and take a kid away.
Yeah, you could not. You literally could not think of a worse first date.
He must still be really banking on, getting some at the end of the night if he's
He's in it for the long game.
I feel like we need to talk about what happened right off the bat at the start with Dr. Green being woken up to treat a hammered George Clooney, who apparently comes into the hospital seemingly every other day, drunk out of his mind.
So anyway, she says to me, she says, I didn't know that pediatricians could be so sexy. And I said, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet.
And they don't really address it. They just kind of, yeah, give him some aspirin and put him on the IV and then he's just...
Send him out for a 24-hour shift.
Healing kids.
It kind of had that vibe of like the renegade cop who's sort of living on the edge, seeing a bit too much shit.
Mm.
Except I don't think that'll fly when you're working in a hospital.
Surely your vice would not be... I mean, alcoholic doctors, bit of a thing, seemingly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but...
Just in the general...
I don't reckon they're putting up with that if you're coming into the hospital on the reg... Drunk out of your mind, having to get hooked up to an IV by one of your colleagues.
No,
then go to work later that day.
You think you'd maybe be hooked on something.
What a hangover recovery,
bit,
though.
You know, keeps you a bit sharper.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
I want that. That's so unfair. That's a cheat to hack.
To it just really get chucked on the drip.
You gotta be punished for your pleasure.
Yeah.
You can't just like hook it up to a drip and then reset and it'll all be fine. That's
why
cheating.
Do you think people get into the medical field, Jez? You just don't get hangovers. Get drunk, go straight to the hospital, boom.
Never have to stop drinking ever again.
How much would you guys pay, do you reckon, if you were like mad hungover to be bailed out like that?
That is something that I don't think you can answer that question now.
No.
Because whatever I say now, at least quadruple it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would probably say now like $200.
Yeah.
$200.
But if I was really hungover, like... writhing around in bed, you know. mouth so dry that I need some water, but I am too like in too much pain to get up. I would probably say like $2,000.
Yeah. I reckon like take the amount that you'd spent on drinks and square it.
Yeah. Ooh. Yes. Square it.
And enough to make you leave your job at the public hospital and take the soulless job with the private practice.
Yeah, $24,000 a year.
Go back to selling women's shoes.
Yeah.
What is this? Where is all the hospital money going?
To get out of a hangover.
They're fleecing people in the US and they're on $24,000 a year. I don't get it.
Yeah.
They're spending it all on IV drips for George.
Let me tell you, he doesn't look like any alcoholic I've ever seen. Man looks $1 million. $1 million all the time. So I want to skip ahead again. That scene with Miguel Ferrer, the actor who's in it, the smoker.
Oh yeah,
I don't know.
Actors in this show.
Yeah, no, I've seen
that,
him in some.
You read
stuff.
That one scene with the actor in it.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I said his name, Miguel Ferrer. Come on.
Household name.
The actor.
The actor guy. You know.
Mm.
Sorry, the guy who had cancer, who's smoking.
Yeah, three packs a day.
Doctor, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your help and thank you for being straight with me. I really appreciate it. I guess I don't have to quit smoking.
Aaron, how many packs a day do you smoke?
Two or three.
Four or five?
Hmm? Yeah, four or five. Six,
yeah,
seven.
The Aaron Bowden diet?
Yeah.
Two or three a day. How do you get time to do anything else?
How many?
Going like two at a time?
How many smokes in a pack? Yeah, you know, like 12?
20 to 25?
What I wanted to ask.
Punching 50 darts a day.
Where do you get the time?
It's 2 to 3.
Would you say like two minutes a dart? 3 minutes
a
dart?
Yeah, about that.
Maybe he's going akimbo. He's doing two at a time.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be two at a time. One in the ear, one in the mouth. I don't know.
Play the country
mix
two
it up.
At the same time.
Yeah, he's been smoking that many for that long. I'm sure he's got some tricks.
But that was a question I was going to ask. Like, what size are the packs? Are they 30 packs, like a PJ Gold type thing? And you're doing 90 cigarettes a day?
They'd be 20s or 25s.
Yeah, okay. 20s. That makes more sense. That's
reasonable.
Really those American, you know, the American like 20 soft packs.
This, the old.
He seems like a roll it up in your t-shirt type. The perception around smoking kind of flipped in '95. So this is would have recorded the pilot just before that, and I think everyone's afraid to smoke at all. Back then, people were afraid to stop smoking at all, just in case, like, you know, you didn't get the health benefits from cigarettes if you stopped for even a second. So,
of course.
Doctors recommended. Doctors like George Clooney, your drunk doctor, would recommend always have a cigarette on the go.
Always. One in the mouth, one in the ear. You'll be fine.
Just be safe, you know? You got to filter that dirty Chicago oxygen through a... delicious Marlboro Red.
Purifier.
Naturally.
It's a good time to tell the audience we're sponsored by Marlboro Red.
Everyone else has
shied away from the tobacco industry, but we're charging through these tough times. You know, you got to take money from where you can get it. It'll circle back.
Yeah, medicine's cyclical.
It's like fashion.
Yeah, exactly.
We were watching this episode with my partner, who is a nurse, and there was a lot of yelling coming from her. She wasn't happy with the behavior of the doctors and the nurses.
See, not up to code.
Handover wasn't fast enough.
Because I kind of thought that they, to a layperson, I thought that they were pretty good on the medical side of things, you know? It felt...
They were talking very quick.
They kept saying CCs.
CCs are this.
Yeah. And I'm in. I don't know anything past that.
It sounded legitimate.
And they're like telling them they need to put a line in and stuff like that. I'm like...
You're saying, Aaron, it did not compute with a medical professional. That they didn't pass the test.
Any credit?
94, though. 94, come on.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah,
what does she know?
I mean, I'm a pediatrician. I would know.
You'd know. Yeah, well, anyone would.
To be fair, I mean, I'm just handsome. I just assume if you're handsome, you're a pediatrician. So that's the George Clooney. That's how he got it.
I found that Anthony Edwards' character, the way that he was kind of acting in that environment, seemed realistic. You know. Functioning on no sleep, you know, the way it was all getting to him. I thought he was an accurate portrayal of someone there.
It's an accurate portrayal of what you believe medicine could be.
Maybe
especially
they should
in America.
Yeah, exactly. They're not all Grey's Anatomy, Dr. McMuffin and McNuggets.
McMuffin.
Can I get one Dr. McMuffin and a pack of 12 Dr. McNuggets?
Smoking 12 Dr. McNuggets a day.
You know what I mean? The stupidly handsome doctors, you know. Most of them are going to be balding, tired guys.
Like George Clooney, you know?
Mm. Yeah, balding, tired guy, George Clooney.
Yeah, the epitome of...
Always realism. Typecast. Can never sort of break those shackles. All right, should we move on to the not finale? George's goodbye?
It's pretty emotional for me, but let's get there.
You hate to see how the pediatricians fall.
I do. I really do.
In Dr. Clooney's final appearance of his main run in the show, we're treated to a bus crash that's got the hospital humming at max capacity. And as if it weren't enough, old mate Clooney has gotten himself into a prang and hurt his good friend Jenny in the process.
I've been in an accident. I've got a woman badly hurt. I need help, please.
With a plethora of missing hands, broken legs, and ruptured organs, the ER has never been busier. But that doesn't mean Clooney doesn't have time to sit down with his favourite nurse, Carol, and ask her to drop everything and leave with him for a new life in Portland.
Come with me.
I gotta get back to work. I'll talk about it later, okay?
But alas, she rebuffs him, and the Clooner gets sent off downing a bottle of beer aside a frozen Lake Michigan, and with the promise of a half-court one-on-one with his best friend Mark, which I'm sure all the fans were left dying to see.
You cheat.
I do not.
You do cheat.
I do not.
You are a cheater.
Can we start with basketball? They're in, like, snow gear with beanies on and wearing, like, slacks. Are they going to go play basketball in dress shoes on the ice? What is this?
That is a quick trip to the ER.
That's how they do it in Chicago Jazz.
Play some hoops.
That's how Jordan learned.
And unless maybe they've got indoor courts in Chicago, I don't know. But I assume when they say, well, let's go hoop, they want to hoop outside.
They got a very interesting travel rule. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it was a bold decision. That whole last setup of Clooney moving to Portland and just playing some street ball, that seemed like a dream come true for Morgan. That's everything you want.
Oh, you have no idea.
Yeah, that's why Morgan doesn't have a reboot, because that was the reboot.
Can't think about anything else. That's everything now.
I got a lot of notes, and it's all just about me and Clooney looking up real estate in Portland.
Climbing up the domestic basketball league ranks.
Naturally.
whilst going opening up your dual pediatrician practice.
Yeah. Unlucky. You in the middle. Pediatricians of Portland.
Clooney running point, just dishing it into you, you know, you just bruising on the inside. Just a little 1-2 punch.
Just kicking out to Dame when we have troubles. Every now and again, Anthony Edwards comes and visits us and we just rag on him for being, you know...
more bald than he was last time.
What's happened to that once great society on top of your head there, Edwards? Look ridiculous.
He went from kind of like a boyish, you know, looking 30-something guy who was losing his hair a little bit to like full-on middle-aged man in 5 seasons. Mm. It came from quick.
Yeah, I got him.
Whereas George is just going the other way, getting more handsome. Imagine how frustrating it would be to... I reckon Edwards is like, you've got to write him out of the show. I can't do this every day.
How am I getting more decrepit while he gets more intensely handsome?
This isn't fair.
He's like a succubi. He'll just he'll suck the youth from you.
That has to be what it is. He just absorbs it from the people around him. That's why I have to keep replacing the cast members, because he just...
just taking all the hands. He's burning
through
the cast.
Uses them up. He's just... Yeah. just the weird ER busts by the end of the season.
The ER room's a perfect spot for him.
There is a scene in the first scene with Clooney in it, when he's in the car accident with the other person from the hospital, whatever her name is, I can't remember.
Jeannie.
It's not relevant what her character is. But there's that scene where the ambulance shows up and then he runs up and flags it down and goes, yeah. Gloves!
Come on, yeah, I need gloves! I need gloves! I'm a doctor!
Gloves, I need gloves! In my head, as he said that, I just said, gloves, I need gloves, I'm George Clooney.
I gotta go. My precious hands.
Yeah, I'm in a medical show, I get it. Like, it had nothing to do with me and Doctor. I'm George
Clooney. Don't worry about her, I need gloves, my hands are cold. These hands pay the bills.
I'm an analyst, give me the goddamn gloves.
Give me all your gloves.
It's 0 degrees out.
That's all my mind went to. But then I was like, oh, hang on, wait, no, he's actually going to try and treat her.
Yeah,
but that whole he's playing an actual doctor.
That whole thing was insane because the paramedics show up. He's obviously a serious car crash. The passenger's unconscious. He's bleeding from the head, but they're just like, all right, you take the lead on this one. Mm. You go treat that unconscious woman.
Yeah,
Devin, oh my God, pediatrician.
We don't know who you are.
Paramedics don't know anything.
Yeah, exactly. Paramedics.
It could be a crayon up the nose. Let me check.
Glorified cabbies.
Just glorified cabbies. Jesus.
She might have grazed her knee.
Yeah, you wouldn't get away with that in Portland. In
got to
Chicago,
check for an ear infection. Maybe she's got chicken pox. Clear out. Come on, George. Like all these kid ailments, Scott? I've run out of kid ailments.
I must. The one thing I was surprised at, and I kind of forgot once I actually started watching this. Sorry, the final Clooney episode. Circling back, we're doing it again. Got me saying it again. I forgot that we were doing it this way, and I know that Anthony Edwards. Spoiler alert! Early, so stop listening now if you want to watch the show. I know that Anthony Edwards' character dies, and the only reason I know that is that I have distinct memories from. I feel like I've...
The life force was eventually drained entirely from him and he just kind of
he's called, Clooney took it all.
Just dust in the wind.
As Clooney rips his shirt off to reveal like a 20-pack. 6 sets of pecs.
4 hearts.
Yeah.
Didn't want to give it to him.
10
but
pairs of gloves.
Them. Keep those hands. Good. God, I've lost it now. just Clooney killed everyone in the show to stay young.
It's plausible.
That's why I kept going for 15 seasons. It really burned out after 5, but Clooney's like, nah, I got to stay young because I got a long way to go with my acting career. So I'm going to keep killing people from ER. Edwards is just the strongest of them all. That's why he lasted the longest.
Just
longest.
He could never find a solution for the hair. That's the one bit.
No, but I knew so much about this show and everything about it was just purely on watching so much commercial TV as a kid and this being such a primetime show. I just remembered things of like, this is Anthony, like at Channel 9 advertising how it's Anthony Edwards, Dr. Green's last episode. I'm like, oh yeah, he dies. So I just knew things about this show just from remembering watching. Purely watching like Xena when I'm like 7 at my grandparents' house. There was advertisements for ER on Tuesday night at 9:30. I'm like, oh yeah, ER.
The music's iconic.
Oh,
that's
etched
into
my
brain.
Some bells.
Now
I would say I would like to know how many kind of shoehorned in disasters they had throughout. So this is, we're only five seasons in and we've gone from a building collapse to a snowplow hitting the side of a school bus and flipping it over.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
crushing a bunch of kids. Like this is, that's pretty far fetched already. So
it is a war zone.
I'm pretty sure at some point, who was the student doctor from the first episode?
John Carter.
John Carter gets captured by gorillas in like a South American country. So,
you know what? I reckon that is an episode.
I'm pretty sure it is. So they have to just keep raising the stakes. So they got to, at one point they've got to have 9/11 times a million.
9 million and 11. That plow must have been fucking vicious though.
Yeah.
He plowed a girl's hand clean off.
Doc, I found the hand. One of the fingers is pretty smashed up, but otherwise it's okay.
All right, just pack it in saline gauze with ice and get it to county.
Clean
like,
off.
Like I and you could think
those
it like
kids are just
could
no seatbelts are just bouncing something. Around like marbles.
It could crush a hand or something, but it's just right off. That guy when he's like searching around the bus that's tipped over. He just finds a hand, a loose hand that's just been sliced.
Good thing it's winter, because I reckon if it's summer, that thing's just gonna.
That's cool.
It's gonna cook.
Every good plowman knows you got to sharpen your plow before you go out in the ice.
Oh, every morning, shing, yeah. shing, some razor sharp plows.
So Clooney was essentially the second title card, and I assume by this stage he's in a. Well, actually, no. I looked at it. He's in a few movies by this stage. So that's obvious why he left. It's such an unceremonious end, though, for him to depart the show because he just literally just kind of walks out.
I kind of like that. So.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
That's what would happen.
Yeah.
Someone from work would be like, "Yeah, I'm moving to Portland." Like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. And there's a woman that he has a romance with who's like, "Don't go," but also whatever. And
that
then
was probably the
like,
word. That
oh,
was
cool. I'll come see you in Portland. Just don't go for the Blazers, you idiot.
Go for the Blazers. Go Blazers. Which is funny. It's almost like they left the door ajar for him to come back just in case. But when Edwards wanted to leave, they killed him off, like completely.
No one wanted him coming back. He was, as we've discussed, he was a withered husk. As much as I loved him in the first episode. Actually, I really liked him in this episode as well. I thought the best part was when he was on the ground at the crash, kind of like directing everyone, doing doctor stuff, being real nice to the kids. Some of his best work. I know you said, Scott, like the car crash is really hard to make sense of out of context. Why wasn't George Clooney there helping the kids? Wouldn't that be his time to shine?
Because he had a different storyline.
Yeah, which is what drive another
doctor
leave. Around in the car.
He had to leave to go to Portland.
Child-related chaos and your star pediatrician's not there.
Mm.
I'd trade him to Portland after that as well. That's when Morgan's just rolled his sleeves up and got into it, you know? 10-year-old Morgan.
That's how we do.
Straight off the bench.
He's had his first taste of it and couldn't get it out after that. It's just been chasing that high of illegally practicing medicine on children.
Somehow that makes it sound worse than what it is.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was going to say don't knock it till you try it, but...
Next level.
Yeah.
You've got a lot to answer for. Illegally practice some medicine on children. You know, my mum took splinters out of my hand that maybe I should have gone to the doctor for.
Potentially, but the high of, you know, practicing medicine on children is just... All right, let's just park that.
We'll circle back.
I want to talk about Noah Wiley's hair, or rather John Carter's hair. Got the big swish. How often in a work day do you think he gets his hair feathered?
Constantly. It's strange that Clooney didn't latch his claws into him. He seems to be
maybe they've got some sort of blood pact going. You know?
I was gonna say recognizes handsome.
Yeah, I was going to say they probably do most of that off screen because you can only... The thing is, it's just sort of showing the highlights of the medical stuff, but like there's still 8 hours in a work day. Like we're only seeing, you know, 40 minutes. I'd say the other, you know...
That's all they work in a work day, Morgs.
Yeah, 40 minutes.
That's why they get paid so badly.
Makes sense. Those are 45-minute weeks. Jeez, I would...
And then
would
they've got the gall to complain about their salary.
Unbelievable. Work more. So now I get it. Now I get it. Especially right now, all those healthcare workers, I wonder if we got a problem. They're all working 45-minute weeks and we're drowning in this pandemic.
We haven't really talked about Dr. Benton.
No, we haven't. I really like that character, actually.
He's good. Morgan, what do I know him from? He looks familiar.
He does look very familiar, doesn't he?
Oh, that's where I know him from. He's the Soul Glow guy from...
Oh, yes, that's it. He's from Coming to America.
Coming to America, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was in Quantum Leap as well. He should be in the TAS Hall of Fame.
I think so. We've referred to Soul Glow more than once.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
Yes, yeah, I'm really glad I put my finger on that.
Oh God, that is. Oh, I could have done the research myself, but I'm a busy man. I'm a pediatrician. What can I say?
It's more satisfying this way.
It is.
Do we have any final thoughts on this episode?
Let's reboot this bad boy.
Let us reboot this bad boy.
I'll kick us off. Mine's pretty short. We didn't really touch on this when we were recapping the last episode, but there was a subplot of a custodial staff member and his wife. And he was getting surgery for erectile dysfunction, which let's not get into that. I didn't realize there was surgery for that, but it's a whole other kettle of fish.
Yeah, yeah. You put a thing
and
in.
And there's a bit of tension. Doesn't want him to get it for... yeah, they got to refit some pipe.
Surgeons, there's glorified
plumbers.
It's
weird that he's doing it in a hospital. We should probably go to a plumber. But anyway, so she doesn't... Anyway, the whole thing is...
How are you going to tastefully reboot this? You're trying to dance around here.
And the other thing that had me thinking was, you know, Dr. Green on location doing some doctoring with the kids in the school bus with the plow still on top of them. So I was thinking, and we've also seen that George Clooney is pretty mobile in this episode. He's out and about in his Jeep, you know, getting his gloves. I was thinking, Dr. Ross, Dr. Green... And my boy, Dr. Benton, form a three-man unit where they go around. It could be like a van, kind of like A-Team, if you will. Or it could just be Clooney's Range Rover or whatever it was. And it's going to be Erection Rescue. And they would just go around and perform... Erection Rescue. And it's all about just getting people's pipes fixed. Getting them back on the saddle.
Is there an emergency element to it? Like, are they going out like
that's a good one because we know that
like
they
a plumber
can,
would go out with like a busted pipe, you need it sorted straight away.
Yeah, they can cure hangovers like that. Mm. So maybe they can cure drunkenness like that. So if you're a bit of whiskey dicks creeps in, get them on the phone. They chuck the siren on top of the Land Rover. Zoom out. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you don't hit a patch of ice. Hopefully, Clooney's got enough gloves to survive the trip. And come to your house, fix your dick right up. Boom. Back to Lane Park in no time.
Now, Jez, I need to know, how often is George going to cuck the client?
Most of the time.
All right, well, I guess that's just a risky run.
Because he's a pediatrician. The doctor and the surgeon are the ones doing all the work. So
he knows what he's there for.
And because it's all, as you guys have helped me establish, it's all emergency work. So it's men who are right on the cusp of laying some serious pipe.
Very time sensitive.
So George steps in and just...
You're in the throes of passion. Yeah.
He covers the back end while those guys...
While the guys out in the work. In the back of the van, they're like cutting this guy open. George is in there, absolutely cucking them. Can I say that word?
Well, I'm glad you rescued that.
That gave us a different rating.
It was on the edge of being in poor taste. Mm.
Yeah, it's in great taste now. Yes, no, I didn't want to touch too much on that side story because it was.
I can see
dark.
Why you skipped over it.
Yeah.
Give it the reboot.
Best to move. Give that one a wide berth. Just move right past it. No circling back.
No, of course not. Of course not.
Cool. Erection Rescue. Well,
Erection Rescue. Well, I'll jump in because mine's actually... Well, I don't want to say it's not too
penis-based,
but it's not penis-based.
Erection-based.
It does sort of... I'll just roll with it. So anyway, mine is... So mine, I guess you can say in some ways it's a continuation. So it's about George after he's now moved to Portland.
Of course.
He's actually taken...
God, more rights
yourself.
Frothing.
hey, whoa.
Was he sell tires or something? Bloody Will Forte.
Doesn't matter what he does. then he goes... No, he does business trips to Brooklyn, you know, the whole nine yards. Location's really irrelevant. I just wanted to use Brooklyn because it's a vehicle. But no, him and John Carter, Noah Wiley, they set up a new clinic. Let's just say it's locally to Chicago. You know, you look at Noah Wiley, that mane of feathered hair that he has, and George Clooney rocking. Yeah, you know, he's set the tone for hairstyles of men for the last 15 years. They open up a new emergency room for just hairstyles and just hair replacement and hair in general. It's called HER, H-E-R, hair emergency room. There you go. I got there. And it's just Noah Wiley and George Clooney. Just
yeah, a better name is HER.
HER? Yeah, oh, that's way better.
HER.
Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. I don't know.
HER.
I was so distracted by George. Yeah, so it's basically, it's a hair replacement unit, and that's George Clooney and Noah Wiley.
I feel like we could... combine me big- like a one-stop shop kind of thing.
Exactly. And we'll workshop it. Basically, Noah Wiley does your consultation. And then Clooney's in there cucking you.
I don't want to stereotype, but I'm assuming the men with willy issues probably have not the best hair.
Whoa. I mean, you got the prime customer right there. Dr.
Morgan.
What's his name?
Anthony.
Yeah, Morgan.
Two for one.
No, Anthony. Fuck.
Sitting right there.
Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards. He's your number one customer.
Well, you assume because he's got no hair. He's thinning on top. He's got... he's battling in the bedroom as well.
The libido is the second thing to go.
Oh, it could go one of two ways, you know? It's either like you don't need the hair because you do so well in the other area. Or the poor hair department is a sign of things to come.
I like your first... The people with hair overcompensating for
with their hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Prancing around.
Got something to hide downstairs.
Something they're ashamed of.
Who are you fooling with that mane, Morgan?
Ah, it's a piece. You got me.
We knew your bird quit years ago.
Stop looking at it. I went to the HER, and you know.
And now look at you.
Look at me now. I'm a pediatrician.
So they do like emergency hair transplants, or are they like? Is it just like they style it? Barbers.
Oh, they do both.
All the above.
Consultancy.
They medically prescribe a hairstyle, or they medically replace that hair if there's nothing there. Like, so with Anthony Edwards, there's nothing to work with. They're just gonna plop a Tommy Wiseau straight on top of there, just long black mane.
Long mane. Tommy Wiseau's natural hair. It's confused.
Naturally.
What do you mean a Tommy Wiseau?
All American guy.
Morgs, do they do Merkins?
Of course they do.
Very good.
They'll wrap the whole penis.
Exactly. Tasteful merkins, obviously. They'll
cover the whole thing.
Head and shaft.
Tip to shaft, yeah. Like having sex with a shag rug. Rolled up. If you want it, you know. Client knows best.
This marketing material is going to be.
They're just here to serve and protect, or whatever their motto is.
Yeah, that's what's on their badge.
Sword.
Is this the first time we've combined two reboots and just formed into one? Just monstrosity of a reboot.
There's a gap in the market, Morgan. There's a gap in the market.
And we found it.
Oh, boy. So, what other high profile clients do you think you could get in? Sort of boost your. Boost your presence.
If Pitbull's coming in, are you turning him away at the door, or has he got the big bucks to get in, Morgs? I know how you feel.
I'll speak to George. I'll see what he says. But I mean,
Dr. Phil's been crying out for it for a long time.
True, Dr. Phil. Mm. Travolta, he could wander in.
Under the cover of darkness.
Yeah. One of our key consultants would be Nicolas Cage, because I don't know what's going on up there. That's just been it's been all over the map for a long time.
And then while we're fixing up there, we might as well fix down there, you know? Take a look at your dick for free.
Take a look at your dick. Get a free Merkin if you get the full works. We throw that straight in. So, yeah, no, I don't think Pitbull... Now, who am I kidding? I'm discriminating against just Pitbull. he's not welcome in our clinic.
It is your right as a private company to discriminate against whoever you want.
The Hippocratic Oath does not include Pitbull.
Mm. Exactly. Besides, I don't think we can...
It mentions him once.
We couldn't fit a... We could make a Merkin that would fit a man who's 1.7 centimeters tall.
We don't have the technology yet.
I love the thought of our listeners trying to reverse engineer why we say the Pitbull's so small.
It really doesn't make a lot of sense.
You'll never know.
Yeah, I assume he's as strong
You'll
as
never
an
know.
Edge, but...
Got to 3D print him a Merkin.
Nanotechnology.
We're not there yet.
All right. Okay. Aaron, you had a reboot, didn't you?
Oh, I was a real half-baker, I'll tell you what.
Can we roll it into this one?
Mm. Ooh, I mean, we do love George, and in the spirit of the pandemic we're in, I was thinking, you know how it's called coronavirus because they have little crowns on the virus? I'm thinking, it'd be a much better virus if it was just a little George Clooney with a crown, and we'd have the Clooney virus, and it's just everyone turning into George Clooney's.
Way more marketable. Man. Way more marketable. It would make Dan Andrews' job way easier.
Definitely.
And I don't know, I kind of imagine George in a real pickle, a professional dilemma, ethical dilemma, where he wants to cure patients, but they're also turning into Cloonies, which he loves. So it's like, what does he do?
That's tough. What are the symptoms of the Clooney virus?
Well, I mean, if you contract it, you start leeching life force off the people around you and just get more handsome by the minute. Mm. So
crazy.
Cloonvid 19.
Yeah, exactly.
Just start unknowingly hawking coffee to all of your close friends and acquaintances.
Absolutely.
Yep, just an unsatiable thirst for Nespresso.
This dark roast is a fine drop.
You know, you'll kind of come to at 3 o'clock in the morning, you've broken into your neighbor's house and, you know, there's blood and Nespresso everywhere and you're just naked in the middle of their floor.
But by God, are you handsome?
It doesn't matter.
You've never looked better.
Get away with it.
If that's wrong, I don't want to be right.
Oh, God. Coronavirus. I get around that.
It's going to be better than the coronavirus film's going to be.
I feel like George Clooney, you know, if that was the... Sorry, not George Clooney. The Premier would be gleefully announcing the increasing rate of death of the Clooney virus. Everyone would be so happy to hear that their 90-year-old Nana has turned into George Clooney.
You want to flatten that curve. You want to ramp it right up.
Exactly. I also feel like that if it was, instead of Dan Andrews, we had George Clooney, like, because Dan Andrews was infected with the coronavirus, the coronavirus, I'd feel a little bit more comfortable getting the news about the out-of-control cases in our region coming from George Clooney as opposed to Dan Andrews.
For sure.
Like, if George Clooney in a North Face jacket's going to me, hey, we're all going to die.
For a brief moment, you look like George Clooney.
I'll take it.
You'll die of caffeine poisoning.
Yeah, just him sipping espressos.
We can. Behind the media, I think that's kind of. I feel like the coronavirus is something basically from the HER, we're basically infecting people just that virus.
Yeah,
That's what the clinic is.
Getting it.
Mm.
Wholesome, a shadow operation.
Naturally, like Agent Smith, we're just infecting everyone.
Do we have a list for this episode?
We do.
And is Clooney
in
it?
We definitely would.
Well, look, it's a long list, and given the subject matter, I really hope he is in it, but I haven't found him yet. I think we've been working a bit blue this episode, so I need to clean it up. And I've got help from IMDb user Cara Midris, who has made a list of erotic posters.
Ooh.
686 images.
Movie posters?
Finest movie posters on IMDb.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Can you share this right now on Facebook, please?
You've got.
I want to have a look.
All right, give me a sec. I mean, you've got your classics, obviously. The Graduate, Showgirls, Put Your Feet on My Meat, Basic Instinct.
Wait. Put Your Feet on My Meat?
Yeah, no, like, the Graduate and Showgirls, and Buttman's Jerk-Off File. Like all the really tasteful classic movie posters.
Naturally.
No, this is 95% hardcore pornography.
Oh, boy. But they do have those ones interspersed.
That makes more sense.
They have, maybe some semi-legitimate movies. I mean, I really battled to find movies that we knew.
Movie movies.
The next one on the list was Porky's.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, that is a film, more, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Technically speaking.
It's a movie. It had a theatrical release, more or less. Hmm.
Beginning, middle, end.
Yeah, so we had our man Anthony Edwards sneaking in at number 82.
Please tell me he's in one of these adult films.
A movie, Gotcha. He's hanging dong on the cover.
Is he really hanging dong?
No, he's not.
Oh, come on.
Oh, what are you doing? I honestly thought for a second there that Anthony Edwards had his hog out on a movie poster.
I'm going to reboot this movie, Gotcha, but just change the poster and it's just Anthony Edwards' hog. There you go, Jez. I'm saying you're lanky. Happy?
I'm looking at Gotcha right now. I mean, it's very phallic.
here's a movie, The Invisible Man. Oh, no. Oh, sorry. I jumped the gun. It's actually The Erotic Adventures of the Invisible Man.
That's...
You can do that with any...
You really can do it with anyone.
But I mean, like, that's kind of what The Invisible Man is already.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. There's a lot of porn.
Yeah, jeez, I'm looking at this too. This is almost exclusively porn. I'm not seeing a legitimate title here at all.
It's quite surprising that IMDb hosts this kind of material, to be honest.
Yeah, there's one from Buttman Magazine Choice. Roman Video's Asses of Face Destruction 4, which is just a woman sitting on a man's face.
It's really interesting how they've sort of concealed all genitalia.
Yeah, it's quite an art to it.
That's someone's job of kind of,
imagine being the best at that.
And do you know what really would be on there? American Beauty would be on there, right?
That'd
be
that's why. Yeah, that was the first one that came
too
to mind.
Too tasteful.
For me,
not enough skin.
Oh, boy.
Oh, these are just full on. These are full on.
The erotic poster gives you a wide variety of. Basically, you can tap in anything, but
you
just use it through an erotic lens.
I appreciated this list if it were. There's a movie here just called Nude Stretching. Come on.
You know again.
If it was.
Well,
it goes for 10 minutes.
What's happening.
If it was legitimate movies with erotic posters. But,
Porn
star zombies, I feel like it's cheating.
That's kind of like, for sure.
Do
you think this list maybe started sincerely going looking for things like American Beauty that we have?
Oh, hey,
I
found American Beauty.
And then it
there we go.
Splintered
yeah.
out.
It's got to be.
There's
yeah.
a credibility.
But then it splintered out to just pure porn. Like the lust for growing this list became.
I think our user got distracted at some point. Fair to say.
I had a brief look at their account. They very recently rated the movie Face Off 2 out of 10.
Oh, well, then they've got no taste.
What?
Yeah,
have they seen that movie?
I think they saw The Erotic Adventures of Face Off.
Bonkers, The Erotic Adventures of Face Off. Is Travolta in that version as well?
I think so. He plays everyone. It's sort of like the clumps.
I don't want to see that.
Well, this isn't really. Wow, you know, Upper Middle Class Bogan, that TV show.
Mm.
That's on
that's,
there.
That's on there.
Yeah. That's on there.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's this list. That
is this your night? Is this your night done, Jez?
There's a movie called Endless Orgy, which
that's his night.
Well, clearly it does end at some point.
George really sent our minds straight to the gutter.
All right. Well,
it just has that effect.
Well, all this talk of George Clooney has got me hot under the collar.
Yeah, I need to call the hair.
Mm. Yeah, I think I need to as well. I need some more hair. Balance it out.
More hair.
Get the blood flowing back to the scalp. So, final thoughts. Should we get our minds out of the gutter? Do some final thoughts on ER?
Yeah.
ER seems, from the outside and a little bit of the inside, seems like a good show.
It's yeah, not bad. Show. Definitely one of the better shows we've done on the scale of good to Baywatch Nights.
So what I didn't realize is it's Michael Crichton.
Yeah. Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Legitimate novelist. So that kind of shocked me. He was a showrunner for a while.
Which
it makes sense to get someone of that caliber in. It's grossed over $3 billion.
That's so much money.
Wow.
Revenue. $3 billion. That's insane. That's probably like
about the same amount as Jurassic Park.
Still not as much as we pay those doctors for working 45-minute weeks.
45-minute weeks, crazy. But I mean, this show was, as we said, the two title cards of the show were Anthony Edwards and George Clooney. I didn't look up
how long
Juliana Margulies was in it for. But
I think this was kind of a launching pad, though. So I wouldn't. They're obviously cashing in on the star power of Anthony Edwards and George Clooney.
Well, at the time, so, yeah. Anthony Edwards was the biggest star at the time. And then, you know, retrospectively, now it's Clooney, and I think that's probably one of the big things. I know that ER is not on any of the streaming services down here, but when it does eventually become available here, there'll be a big old George Clooney face on there instead of Anthony Edwards, even though Anthony Edwards... was the star. But I would legitimately like watch episodes of this. I really enjoyed it. As I said, I was a bit burned out after an hour and a half in that pilot, but 45 minutes, like, yeah, this was pretty good.
I reckon there'd be some fantastic sort of single episode stories of, you know, a particular kind of event happening
or a crazy accident.
I think you're right.
Incredibly emotional stories, things like that. There's definitely going to be a lot of those.
Yeah, I mean, they touched on some pretty heavy issues in the two episodes we saw, so I reckon there'd be some high drama. And it was pretty captivating overall. Like, it was really fast-paced.
Yeah.
Like we were saying, it didn't rely too much on just individual drama, and it wasn't at all melodramatic, which is really to its credit. I think it would get a little bit old when it's just, like, 12 different ER cases every week. You'd just be like...
Yeah,
getting slammed with those, it'd get old, but there's some good stuff.
There are almost unlimited ways that you can hurt yourself, so...
You got...
Well, you know, hospitals are
20 digits to get hangnails on. That's the whole season right there.
That's true.
I'll still... The one thing I'll still not wrap my head around is him not taking... That moment where he's like, I can't give all this up. This incredibly stressful high-stress job where you work 100 hours a week, don't get paid enough, and don't see your family for the... job where you get paid five times more, see your family.
But Morgan, like you would know, it's about the, you know, it's for the love of the game.
I get it. I think it's part of the George Clooney mind control where he's sucking his life.
You don't get
force.
Paid for your pediatrics work, but you still
It's true. It's all amateur. It's all amateur.
You still turn up on Monday.
Hey, you know,
roll your sleeves up, and get the job done.
It's what us handsome men got to do, you know.
He must really hate his family.
Really does.
He must really hate his family.
One of Coda's eating rocks. You're never around.
Never around. Oh, God, yeah. That's what she's. It's a cry for help from my dog. She brings rocks and starts chewing on them.
She learned from watching you.
Yeah, it's true. All right, well, look, let's wrap it up. This was, as we said, probably one of the better shows we've watched. As always, if you can jump on to your podcasting platform, rate, review, give us some love. It goes a long way. Also, drop us a suggestion in our suggestion box on our website. Go look it up. Send us something.
Anything.
We will take it all. I even suggest stuff in there sometimes, and the guys ignore me.
It's true. Under your many aliases.
Yeah. You're not doing Suddenly Susan. It's not happening.
Suddenly Susan's not going to happen.
Just can look up, go to IMDb, look up Suddenly Susan, think about it, suggest it. I don't know. Hey.
I heard they buried all the copies of it in the Nevada desert next to the pile of E.T. games.
We'll see. We will see. All right. Well, we'll just leave it there then. Okay. So thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Morgs.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jez.
Thank you.
And thank you, George Clooney.